A lot of us will be tuning in tomorrow for the showdown between the Spartans and the Wolverines on the basketball court. In between the sportball and the well-written, exquisitely shot, expertly edited commercials in the breaks, take a minute to think about the way that ad industry culture shapes our understanding of the world. Do people see Colin Kaepernick differently through the lens of a Nike commercial? Has clever advertising by Apple opened up the door to an era of technology that we'd really want to trust with our personal information? And who could forget Chrysler's 2011 ad reminding America what the name Detroit means?
You see, it's the hottest fires that make the hardest steel. Add hard work and conviction, and the know-how that runs generations deep in every last one of us. That's who we are. That's our story.
What would it look like if a city took its cue from the ad world? We wanted to talk to Eric Thomas about this. He has just joined the city of Detroit as its new chief storyteller and is most recently the principal of Saga Marketing. Eric Thomas, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you for having me.
What's the difference between the story of a product brand and the story of a city?
Nothing if they're done right. Storytelling is important because it's the way that we communicate, it's the way we share stories, and it's the way we remember things. And so if we tell stories that make people feel moved or inspired, then those are the stories that we should always tell.
Do you remember where you were when you saw that Chrysler commercial?
No. The Chrysler commercial is fine. I think people like it a lot. I think it's okay, right? I think it's an incredible commercial about Detroit, an okay commercial about a car. I think if you stuck anything in that commercial, it would have been fantastic because the story is Detroit, and the story of Detroit is of resilience and brilliance and of great people. And so anything you infuse with that story, I think will inspire delight and joy and confidence.
What aspects of Detroit's story do you think remain untold?
I think people forget that when you say grit, that grit is caused by friction. You cannot wear grit. You can only be ground into it. And so the stories that have not been told are the stories of the people who are heroes, who triumph because of their relationship with the people in the city and not just because it sounds good. And so there are so many hardworking, powerful, talented people in the city of Detroit. And I think that is not being told. I think we talk about Detroit in the context of this nebulous idea of hard work. But you forget to ask why there is hard work. And also, what is the history of the people that do the hard work? And what is the result of that hard work? And so those are stories I think are not being told in the best way, but they can be.
That friction is a little easier to talk about when it comes at a remove of two or three decades. It's a little bit harder when you're thinking about that friction in terms of, say, overcharged property taxes or mass foreclosures or other matters that may paint the city in a less than flattering light. What responsibilities does the chief storyteller have to reflect the whole picture of the city?
So I think there's an important conversation about the context. Detroit is a result of systems that are Detroit-based, county-based, state-based, and federal-based. It's also a city that is 80% black and 90% people of color. If people of color have been held down in a city that is 90% of them, will have the resulting impact of that systemic oppression. And so our job and my job is to make sure that people understand that the humans that live here in Detroit are more than their circumstance and greater than the individual stories of sadness that people like to tell about Detroiters. We need to shift to an asset-based conversation about Detroiters and their talent and their opportunities and the things that they do here. A story like mine is hard to happen anywhere else. A person who grew up low income, who doesn't have a college degree, who can work and fight and scrape and grow and present themselves in such a way to become the chief storyteller of that city. That is a much more common Detroit story than I think people realize. I am closer to Detroiters that you think that you shouldn't hire than I am to the ones that you think are quote-unquote acceptable.
Mm. When we think about the history of how storytelling and, you know, digital marketing have been used, there are plenty of examples of storytelling being used as a force for change. For example, the Occupy Wall Street movement. that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the conversation going on through Adbusters magazine and other people who are involved in media and the ad industry. But at the same time, there are any number of examples where storytelling has been used to wash over uncomfortable truths. If the story of Detroit also includes overcharged property taxes and mass foreclosures, does the chief storyteller have a responsibility to reflect the whole picture?
My goal is not to act as an employee of the city of Detroit. My goal is to act as an ambassador for Detroiters. My job in the city is to not just bring the city's message to the residents, but to bring the residents' message to the city. I am the chief storyteller of the city of Detroit. The city of Detroit is the people of Detroit. It is important to remember that progressive movements, community movements, those voices must be amplified, not suppressed. Some of the greatest things in the world that we have, I mean, your vacation days are a result of unions standing up. Storytelling is not a new concept. It's just been packaged into something that's cute. Stories are how we tell our histories. It's how we connect to people. And so the stories about our struggles, but also our triumphs, have to be told. It is exciting that I have the opportunity to do that and to go in and really elevate Detroiters to the status of hero.
In your professional career, have you ever had to push back on a client?
All I do is push back on clients. I'm sure my clients are tired of me. it's because I believe in asset-based framing, and I've done all of my work in nonprofits. You know, this Sarah McLachlan, you know, fly on the head of his poor brown kid storytelling doesn't just feed into guilt. It frames how you understand the people. And so I push back all the time. We need to be reminding that we're not saving people. We're providing scaffolding for people who would otherwise be incredible contributors to society. And when you create that scaffolding, then that talent has the opportunity to shine. But the mental load of poverty and the mental load of oppression, the mental load of racism and the mental load of misogyny and patriarchy impacts someone's ability to have output. You take away those barriers and you see things that you've never seen before. I mean, even with those barriers, you have seen almost every style of art and music come almost directly out of the Black community. And that's with the shackles. Imagine with those removed.
You wrote an article in the Free Press last November that noted Detroit is attracting an awful lot of people who may not know those stories of the city, white people who may enter the city, maybe even for their first time, and not stop to wonder why the spaces that they're drawn to are not equally welcoming to Black people who were here well before the rebirth and the boom. What do you feel your work with the city can do about that?
So first, I think we get caught up in the Black versus white thing, like there are not other people. There are a lot of people coming to Detroit.
including people of color.
Including people of color.
Right.
Who don't think about Detroit as a culturally Black space. A Black space that, by the way, we didn't make that way, right? That's redlining that created those demographics. There were jobs that moved out to the suburbs that we weren't necessarily able to get that created that. I mean, we didn't make Detroit a Black city. People leaving made Detroit a Black city. People creating areas that we couldn't move our families into because they didn't want us there made Detroit a Black city. Detroit did not become a Black city by happenstance. There was an intentionality that was created, and then it was disinvested in. That's the first part. But the second part is, because of that heritage, Detroit has a unique colloquialism, a story to tell, a particular swag, a particular drip that you should look to find. If you were going to Morocco, you would go look for Moroccan stories, right? You wouldn't go to Morocco and say, this needs to be a lot more like San Francisco, right? And so when you go to Detroit, you should come looking for Detroit. Who are those stories? Who are those people? When you go into a place that is less than 40% Black in a city that is 80% Black, you should start asking questions about what's going on here. I'm not saying the whole party needs to be Black, but wouldn't it be weird if you showed up in Africa and didn't see any Africans? If I showed up in Birmingham and didn't see any white people, I would start asking some questions.
But how does the city's conversation have to do with?
It's about preservation. Uh-huh. It's about celebration, right? When you look at how the city's stories have been framed, we let corporations kind of do those things. The city is working hard to provide resources to Detroiters and not necessarily focus on the story of those resources. And so sometimes people don't know. We put the marketing dollars towards things we want people to buy. But I think it's time to start putting the marketing dollars towards ways we want people to feel about themselves so they take advantage of the resources and the opportunities that are available to them. And the things that are not available, then they get to push to make those things true.
A lot of people who've worked in the private sector for most of their careers have entered public service and found it a very different experience. Do you feel like you have the tools you need to do your job working for the city?
I have been the type of person to make weird things happen regardless of what is going on. Surviving in an area that's disinvested, going to schools that have been disinvested in, you know, getting nearly robbed in places and talking my way out of those things are much more frightening than having to deal with the bureaucracy of a public infrastructure. Every minute that I wait to help, you know, resource allocation is a day that people don't have the opportunities to thrive. And so to me, it sounds weird to complain about bureaucracy when there are lives at stake.
Do you expect you'll maintain a practice and some projects outside of your work?
Absolutely. Because a lot of the work that we do are focused on community. So we do a lot of nonprofit work. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to cross streams. But the work that we do is focused on equity and community and housing and homelessness and all that other work. As much as I can do to help shape and frame those stories, I'll do it.
Do you know what your first project for the city is going to be yet?
Not necessarily. I'm working my way through a strategy to really help the city itself align. I believe in systemic change, and so I will work as hard as I can to have that kind of impact.
Eric Thomas, congratulations on the job, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.